Hello, readers. My name is Jason Jefferies, and I am your host for Bookin', presented by Quail Ridge Books, Raleigh, North Carolina's trusted community bookstore. My guest today is Tyree Day, winner of the 2017 American Poetry Review Honickman First Book Prize, and recently a finalist for the 2019 Kate Tufts Discovery Award. His latest book is River Hymns, published by the American Poetry Review out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tyree, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, Tyree, your book River Hymns, which is divided into two parts, has several recurring words, images, and themes. Some that come to mind are dirt, ash, death, cages, gin, cabbage, the mouth of a barrel. There are many more. Do you, Tyree Day, view River Hymns as a collection of poems or as one continuous and thematically connected work?
That's a really good question. I definitely, as I'm building, you know, as I start to see like themes emerge in a grouping of poems, I definitely start to order them in a way that evokes this narrative. So with River Hymns, you notice the poems in the first section are the speaker's younger in them, right? And then the second half is the speaker reflecting on all these things we learned in the first section. So I definitely think about, you know, this the narrative thread of all the poems together, right? So it's the narrative thread within the poem, and then it's the thread of putting all those poems together. So, yeah, and that seems to be how I work, right? So one poem, a theme will break open into another poem, and I just keep building from this. So they have this thread, right, that runs through them.
Yeah. That's great. And I want to talk about an image in the poem, "And We Tried to Sleep in the Summer." You write, "One minute you're alive, the next you are the empty bedroom us kids are afraid to go in." What is it about these rooms, once occupied by the living, now a memory of the deceased, that inspires fear?
I definitely grew up in a superstitious family. I definitely still believe, I guess not even call them superstitions, I guess these rules around around death, right? And just around nature in general. And so I was raised to fear or respect these things. But as a child, you know, respect usually is shown as maybe a little fear, right? And so it was, I guess I tried to evoke that throughout the book. So there's all these moments where the speaker's dealing with death or speaking to a ghost. And kind of like the river in this book has like all these complex things tied to it, right? It's not necessary that we fully, like the speaker fully, it's not even love, right? It's, I think of the river in this book as like God, right? And so there's this love, but also it's this fear part of it too, right? And the same way with the dead, there's this love, but also there's this fear, there's this otherness, because it is like speaking to an ancestor and that's not here, right? This form. There's a thin wall I feel like the speaker has to kind of put up. So, yeah.
Thank you. And Tyree, the next poem I would like to ask about is Southern Silence. Could you read that for us?
Southern Silence. I've only trusted four white people in my life. My mother showed me the ropes early. I'm afraid to untie myself, get down from this branch. Even the Jesus on the wall of this church, old and swaying, has something up his sun-touched sleeves. Tell me the value of my soul, why he wants it so badly. I can't pray to someone who favors the men that called us niggers from their trucks. I touched every part of Thomas Field until I found the dirt I thought could hold me. What said nothing always grieved. I loved myself before I knew what I was made of. So many different things have ruined the blood. A bottle of gin killed three of my uncles, one granddaddy. We called it white liquor. I wanted to cage and bring home what I made of myself. Look at your proud boy, mama. I wish I only spoke in song. Make a home from these trees the way birds do.
Thank you. That was Southern Silence. The line, "My mother showed me the ropes." Can you talk about this line a little bit?
Sure. for me, well, my mother never really hid anything for me about the world, even as a young child. So I guess that was a moment of that line. I guess, and really that's the kind of the theme of the whole poem, is kind of like how the speaker was raised. And so, yes, that's a line of, you know, me giving an example of how the speaker was raised and how they deal with race. Like, they've been told very early, like, this is what it is. And it's a, you know, it's a survival mechanism, you know.
Thanks. Something else in this poem, Southern Silence, Tyree, you write, "I wanted to cage and bring home what I made of myself." Why a cage as opposed to, say, a box or a package?
I want to say it's trying to follow the themes, you know, and found in the book, right? There's other cages that show up. But I really, maybe I can't look at that line and say, oh, I put cage there to try to follow the theme. It was more intuition. And I think, you know, I think bird and cage is like a new, trying to make a new phrase, right? Of like, you know, making your parents proud, right? To try to turn it into a new phrase. It's definitely intuition.
Mm-hmm. Great. We're going to take a short break, and then I will return with Tyree Day. The Bookin' Podcast is sponsored by Libro FM Audiobooks. Libro FM lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore, Quail Ridge Books. You can pick from more than 100,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers around the country. With Libro.fm, you'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know the name. But you'll be part of a much different story, one that supports community. Listeners of Bookin' can get a 3-month audiobook membership for the price of one. Go to Libro.fm, that's Libro.fm, and enter Bookin', Bookin, in the promo code space. With each listen, take pride in knowing that you're supporting local bookstores. I am speaking with Tyree Day, author of River Hymns, published by the American Poetry Review. Tyree, in your poem Wade Through, you write, "My mama is afraid she'll dream me dead." And later in the poem, "How long is her hair now?" you ask, "What is the price of being obsessed with the dead?" Is this the price of an obsession with the dead and death, believing that you have the power of premonition to dream someone dead?
I don't know. I guess price is a strange term. Because price seems to be like almost like a punishment, you know what I mean? I don't know, I guess it matters. It could be a punishment the way you look at it. I definitely don't look at being able to speak to your ancestors as this like negative thing. But I mean, I guess you could turn it into a negative thing. Like, right? It also matters, right, how you look at it. But I definitely don't see it as a punishment. But I think about that line, it's really interesting. Because the speaker does ask this question, what is the price of being obsessed with the dead? And, like, what's the line after it? It's like the line after it kind of try to answer that question, or at least wonder, right? But I guess, yeah.
Yeah, and then back to Wade Through, the line that my mama is afraid she'll dream me dead. Can you talk about that line a little bit, about the mother's fear?
Yeah, so there's the opening of that poem, you know, kind of discusses this story that I was told when I was little about, you know, my mom having this dream of belly dancers, right, dressed in red around a coffin. And then the next day, her sister, you know, died in a house fire, right? And so that story, I think all these stories that my mother's told me, it's like stuck for me in my head. And it's like, I love the mythology around it. And I love, like, for me, like, that is poetry, like diving into those themes and breaking them open and see how much myth and the myth around the narrative I can create, you know? So that's really what I'm into, even now. But now I'm interested in these stories, but how the lyrical moment in those in these stories like can invoke emotion, and like the narrative. I mean, the image around an the narrative around an image. So I'm working with a lot of old family photos, and not necessarily trying to tell the story of that moment, but literally focusing on the photo and describing to image to that has this narrative of the moment, but also like focus on the image, right, and let the image do the work of the narrative.
Thanks. One of the recurring presences in your poems is that of Whitney Houston. Why Whitney?
It was Whitney. My mom loves Whitney Houston. I remember growing up hearing a lot of Whitney Houston in the house. And she, my mom's also the one that will tell you the same story over and over, knowing that she's like, and she knows she's telling it, she's just like telling the story. And so she always tells me what her, always tell me about Whitney Houston, her favorite song. This is my favorite song. Oh, this is my, I'm like, okay. And so, I don't know, I guess, I definitely, like, I've had a history of always working music into my work. And so, this is me was just pushing it, like, not just the blues, but Whitney Houston, you know, Sam Cooke, and, yeah.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about why you work music into your work so often? Because I also noticed other, as you mentioned, the blues and Big Bill Brunzi and others.
Music has such a important role in my craft. I listen to different music when I'm looking for certain tones of a poem. Like, oh, Nina Simone's song, Chilly Winds Don't Blow. That's the tone I'm looking for in this poem. So I'll go listen to that over and over. And so listen to that, like song lyrics, titles, just tones can't help but work their way into it, yeah. And I like, I'm really big, like tone was such a hard thing for me to understand. Like I only started understanding tone maybe like right before River Hymns came, was coming out, and like it hasn't come out, I was still editing it, but like I was like, you know, I'm really about making sure every image count. And so for every image to count, you have to understand the tone. Right. And what tone are you evoking? Right. And so I was like, well, I'll turn to music. Like, I love the blues. I love that it's Duende, right? That negative and positive rubbing up against each other. And so, yeah, that's music for me. That's why I go to find it. And other poets, of course, I try to, that's how I read. Like, whatever I'm working on, I'll go to that poet. So right now I'm reading Carl Phillips, and I'm reading Tim Siebel's Hurdy-Gurdy.
Great. Tyree, your poem Blooming is for Dorian. Can you talk about this dedication?
Dorian taught me how to make a poem and how to live in the world as a poet. And, you know, being generous, like how that's an important part of my craft, like giving to other poets and like being good to other poets and other people, and like how that's a part of my craft. And so I did my undergrad at NC State, and the only MFA actually I applied to was NC State, because I wasn't going to do an MFA, you know, I was going to try to get a job or something after graduation. And Dorian was like, hey, just, you know, try it out, you get paid, you can teach, you know. And so, yeah, I did that and really took the time to really had those 2 years to dedicate to reading and exploring, like, you know, my narrative, you know, so, yeah.
Good. And Tyree, finally, I want to ask about your poem, Dear Children. You write, I am side B of my father's record. I want to ask what you meant when you wrote this, because as someone who is obsessed with music and albums in particular, side B is often the better side, and definitely the side that often makes or breaks an album that has the potential for greatness. So I want to know what you meant when you said, when you wrote, I am side B of my father's record.
That's interesting. I think of the side B of a record of the quieter part of the album. And I guess that's what I was trying to get at. Like, maybe the I feel like side B of a record is used at the unspoken stuff when you try to get that stuff out. So that's, I think that's what I was leaning towards with that line. Yeah.
What's your favorite side B of an album?
So I have a lot of mischief, I realize, in my poems. And I think Robert Johnson has that mischief. Like, that's where I found the mischief in my work. Because, you know, Robert Johnson is, that voice is beautiful, but also the person behind that voice is like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, the crossroads. Tyree, would you like to read us a couple poems?
Yeah. So maybe we'll do it like this. I'll read a poem for River Hymns, and maybe it's up to you. Maybe two poems for River Hymns and a new poem?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
As much as you like.
Well, this is the first poem I flipped to, so I'll read that one. This is from River Hymns. The name I carry. Mama, your shadow on the wall is still crying. Your mother told me your shadow doesn't recognize the lines on my hands, that your shadow is what the sun touches, what's ablaze, always stumped out. Daddy, your shadow's heartbeat is always asking about itself. How many times must I tell it that it's a man on fire? What a price I have on my head, what a name I carry. You are your daddy's son. The way me and my brother, his legs over my shoulders, make one big shadow in the yard, make one big father. I haven't read this poem in a really long time. Firewater. I sat in the dark house, use lightning for light. A storm speaks every language. The devil was never there when I needed him. You can pour gasoline over the river and watch it burn. The river fuels only on itself. Boil the water before you drink it. Mercy was the first medicine. No prayer I give you will end. Put Uncle's bones down. We buried him in a gray suit. It rained all that day. Water buried itself. Gone in the morning. Dirt is also a womb. Aunt's fire worship. Mercy is cheap gin. Someone opened the stove. It's cold in this house. I can see a ghost inside me. My dreams have songs. I know I'm dreaming of my grandmother when my mother is sitting cross-legged on the porch, the flowers on her blue dress, a year across her shoulders, and the singing, speak, Lord, speak to me. Am I dreaming or conjuring? I couldn't tell you. Put Uncle's hats in the closet. Keep its door closed. No amen will have mercy. Am I praying or am I conjuring? I couldn't tell you where to lay these bones, but in the fire my aunts made to keep us warm. I'll die to keep a bullet out your back. I am praying, Lord, what do you do with these words? Thick, begging wings. Bury them in my uncle's tomb of a garage. Isn't a hammer a bent, unfinished cross? Isn't trying to start a lawnmower an act of worship? Its motor speaking in tongues. I haven't read that poem in a long time.
Thank you for reading it here.
This is a new poem from Cardinal. It's coming out in 2020 from Copper Canyon Press. Cardinal explores all these migration narratives and narratives around the Great Migration. Also deals with this speaker who's leaving home but is constantly being pulled back. And pulled back by his dad and pulled back by the land. And so this is a poem that's in the book, The Mechanical Cotton Picker for Black Chicago Poets. It wasn't that they killed John Boy in front of his mama's small blue house and that no one called her Miss Bluebird anymore out of respect, though she never minded the name. It made her believe she'd fly off someday. Or that the sheriff let John Boy's body sit until even the baby stopped crying, the eyes filled with him, his body already going to marble, no one would be able to lift from their sleeps. It was that we could feed ourselves then by getting down on our hands and knees to pick cotton, and most knew what a body smelt like blowing down a dirt road. When Chicago reached my ear, the war was full of bodies. They sent whole train cars to us black folk. I read The Defender and waited for unusable stars to hide my face behind the curtains of a northbound train, and I prayed the train car would fly. The South truly don't want us to go. a Mississippi cop would catch a family disappearing behind a rainstorm and send them home, the clouds leaving four muddy fields at a time. I left like a season's hand across a window, slowly like a southern sun diagonal on a work back. I wanted to carry my aunts to Chicago with me, like this obituary-filled Bible, these plums I got saved, purpling in my bag.
Thank you, Tyree. It's an honor to have you read that new poem here with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been speaking with Tyree Day, author of River Hymns, published by the American Poetry Review out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tyree, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, I would like to thank Tyree Day for joining me. Signed copies of River Hymns can be purchased in-store at Quail Ridge Books or online at www.quailridgebooks.com. The North Carolina Book Festival is February 21st through 24th in Raleigh, North Carolina, featuring local, national, and international award-winning and best-selling authors, including Tyree Day, Sandra Cisneros, William T. Volman, Hanif Abdurraqib, and Jill McCorkle. More information can be found online at www.ncbookfestival.com. My name is Jason Jefferies, and this has been Bookin'.